Welcome to the New Church Buccleuch. This is an audio recording of a sermon given by Pastor Mark.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome again. Today we are looking at week two of our series, Practicing Forgiveness. Practicing Forgiveness. Last week we looked at the fact that if you are sitting in this room or standing, you have probably experienced pain in your life. Pain caused by other people or pain that you have caused. And so during this series, we're going to be looking at how do we deal with that? How do we forgive others? How do we forgive ourselves when there is pain in our lives? Last week, we looked at, well, why forgive? Why forgive? It is easy to hold on to the pain. And by holding on to the pain, what we're saying is, you've taken my happiness away, and I want you to pay me back that happiness. And so we hold on to the pain, we hold on to the thoughts, we hold on to the emotions, the revenge, the anger, hoping that we cause the other person to give us our happiness back. And I gave the analogy of Ratex. Being in an unforgiving state is like eating Ratex, hoping that the rat will die. Okay. Unforgiveness is poison to ourselves and not to the other person. We are damaging ourselves and not the other person. It's detrimental to our eternal happiness and not the other person if we don't forgive. And so why forgive? Because it's important for our souls. It's important for our happiness. It's important for our relationship with other people. It's important for our relationship with the Lord. We need to forgive. If we call ourselves Christians, if we say that we follow in the Lord's way, then the way that the Lord leads us is in the way of forgiveness. To be a true Christian, not just by word, but by life and by action, is to practice forgiveness. This week, we're looking at how do we love others? How do we practice forgiving others? How do we forgive others? Now, in our life experience, we have come across two broad categories of people that we need to forgive. There are those people in our life who perhaps have hurt us, but they apologize. And we work together to make amends and to fix that relationship that may have broken or that may have suffered some pain. But that other person is working with us, they apologize, and we work together in fixing relationships. Unfortunately, that's probably a smaller portion of our life experience. There is probably a broader portion, a bigger portion in our life where there are people who have hurt us, and either they don't care that they've hurt us, or they know that they've hurt us, but they don't want to admit that they've hurt us, or they simply don't know. And they move on through life unaware of the impact that they're having on people around them. How do we forgive people in our lives who haven't given us an apology? How do we forgive when we haven't had an apology? By holding on to this hope for an apology, what we're doing is we're actually wanting a debt to be repaid. We spoke last week about those hurt and painful feelings that we hold on to, that wrap around our hearts, that we need to let go of, And that's the debt that we need to let go of. We can't move anywhere with other people or the Lord if we don't let go of that debt, if we don't let go of that pain and revenge and resentment. The apology is part of that. We're expecting that person owes me an apology. You owe me a debt. But is that what the law teaches? We're reading over and over in the Lord's word where the Lord says, forgive. Forgive others as I forgive you. Okay? The Lord isn't expecting an apology from us. The Lord is constantly trying to forgive us all the things that we do. He's not expecting an apology. The debt is being let go of. And so we need to also let go of that debt. Let go of that need for an apology. But then the question comes up, well, aren't we just then letting go of justice? If we let go of that apology, then how are things going to be made right? Where's the justice in things if we just let go? Where's the justice if we just forgive? I want to read to you, you can follow along in your pew cards. We're reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18. Then Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. And the servant fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him his debts. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Yeah, this is a small amount, 100 denarii compared to his 10,000 talents. And he laid hands on him and he took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants heard what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servants just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from your hearts does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Whew, that's heavy, okay? Within that story, we can see the Lord is comparing this to heaven, right? He's telling this parable, he's comparing it to heaven. And so we can immediately see that the king in the story is the Lord. And the servant that is begging is us. And that the other servant are the other people in our lives. So we can see this plainly from the text. And it's leading us to a very important teaching, that the Lord is forgiving us, we need to forgive others. Now, there is a misconception amongst Christians that if the Lord forgives us, that's it, we're done. There's nothing required of me in my life. My sins are forgiven, they're gone, whew, my life is clean. But that's not what the parable says. The parable says the Lord forgives you, you forgive others. Right? If we read the Lord's Prayer, you can follow along in your pew card. Okay. And forgive us our debts as we forgive others. The teachings connect. The Lord forgive our trespasses as we forgive others. The two are connected. In the story, it starts off with the Lord forgiving us our trespasses. When we sin, when we do hurtful things towards other people, the Lord wipes the slate clean. He says, I'm not going to hold anything against you. I'm giving you a new beginning. Every moment is a new beginning that the Lord gives us. So he says, okay, scratch the past. That's in the past. Now is a new beginning. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? The Lord's not saying, now you don't have to do anything. Here is a new moment. You have new decisions before you. How are you going to treat your neighbor? Because I have given you an example. I have given you an example. Put the past behind. Let's move forward. So are you going to go to your neighbor and say, well, let's put the past behind us. Here is a moment, new opportunities, new decisions for us to move forward together. We are not saved by just going to the Lord and asking for forgiveness. That's the first step. The second step is for our words to come into our actions, our heart to come into our actions, so that we too walk in the Lord's way, that we follow in His commandments and learn to forgive other people. The reason why the Lord can't just forgive our sins and take the sins away from us, we all know from our own experiences that we are in bad habits. Right? When we get upset with someone, we hold that grudge and we never let it go. Even if we ask the Lord for help, we still battle with this feeling over and over again. We know from experience that the Lord, even though we ask forgiveness, doesn't just remove that evil from us. And the reason He does it is because He can't. Because we are holding on to that evil. That evil is sticking to us. If the Lord rips that from us, He's ripping our very existence from us. So when the Lord forgives our sins, He is not removing, He's not ripping that sin away from us. He is simply saying, this is a new beginning. You have a new opportunity. What are you going to do with it? And our spiritual life comes down to choices. What is the choice that we're going to make in this relationship? What is the choice that we're going to make? Are we going to continue holding on to those evils and go to those people that owe us and say, you owe me an apology? Or are we going to let go of that need for apology and work with that person? So the Lord asks us to let go. Let go of that hurt and the pain. Let go of the need for apology. And let's move forward. But there's that nagging question again. Where is the justice in that? Where is that justice in that? I want to read to you from the teachings for the new church. You can follow along in your pew card. It's from the book True Christianity. I read the first one there from True Christianity 4:10. Since goodwill resides in the inner self, where benevolence, okay, the feelings of good towards another person is felt, and then extends into the outer self, where good actions occur, it follows that people's inner selves are what we should love. And we should love their outer self on the basis of the inner self. Therefore, we are to love people according to the type of goodness they have inside. It is the goodness itself, then, that is actually our neighbor. Okay. So how do we love people when we have this sense, this need for justice to be done, and this need for apology, and this hurt and this pain? The Lord is asking us to push those aside for the moment and go deeper into the person. The habit that we get into is we judge people by one incident. This person said this to me, and so they are like this, right? We judge a person by one action, by one set of words that they said to us. We judge the whole person by this interaction we had. But is that the case? Is the whole person evil? Is the whole person nasty because of one experience that we've had with them? No. The Lord says the outer things, we've got to look past those. We've got to look down into the deeper person. Who is this person? What are they going through? What is their hurt? What is their pain? What is their experience? What is getting them upset? Right? When we start to look past the externals, when we start looking past what we need, and we get down to, well, where is that person? Okay. What terrible things are they going through? Then our hearts are moved with compassion. We are not alone in our struggles. We are not alone in pain. We share pain. We all have experiences that we can share with each other about the things that have happened to us in our life that have caused us pain. And sometimes that pain causes us to react, causes us to develop bad habits that affect relationships in our lives. So the Lord is saying, don't look at the externals. Look deeper into the person. Where is the good? Where is the love in that person? Why is the Lord asking us to look for the love? Because that love is the neighbor. That love is the Lord with that person. The Lord is with us in the things that are loving and caring. So the Lord asks us to love our neighbor, love that good. And then we'll look at the externals later. But when we look at the love in a person, when we look deeper for the goodness in them, it changes how we view the external. Think for a moment, if we are in a state, if we've just been hurt, what is our reaction? Right? Anger, frustration. We want to hurt them back. We want to get even. We want to get revenge. We want to get justice. Right? They've hurt me, I will hurt you back. That's the hells working within us. They want that reaction. But the Lord says, push that aside. Go deeper into that person. Find out who they are. Find out where their hurts and pains are. And once you have been able to look into their lives and understand where they are, we can have compassion. And then we can come back outwards to look at the external of their life. Is what they have done okay? Like we were talking to the children. Is it okay that you hurt me? No. It is not okay if someone hurts you. If you're in an abusive relationship, it is not okay to be abused. It is not okay. Forgiving is not about forgetting about what has been done to you. Forgiveness is about loving that person so that when we go and look at the outside of that person, we can seek the right kind of justice. What are the right things to say to this person? What are the right things to do for this person? Some of you may still have your green armband on, right? What is true, what is kind, and what is useful for this relationship that is struggling at the moment? I want to read to you from, again, the teachings for the new church, from a book called Sacred Scriptures, number 85. In the Word, we read, "The Spirit of truth will convict the world concerning justice and judgment." Justice and judgment. Okay, two lovely words that we latch onto sometimes. The reason judgment and justice are mentioned so often is that the word says judgment in reference to what is true and justice in reference to what is good. So doing judgment and justice also means acting on the basis of what is true and on what is good. Okay? We need to have justice and judgment. We need to be looking to the good and we need to be looking to what is true. We need to be looking deeper into the person to find out what their pain is, understand them better, but then also to look at their outward actions. Okay, we can judge both. We ask to do both, not just to judge actions. What is their inner being like? If we think of a judge in a courtroom, if they have a love for the neighbor, then it is loving for them to sentence someone to jail. Okay, why? Because it's the best for that person, perhaps to face the consequences of their actions, to hopefully find some rehabilitation, but also for the community, to protect the community. So doing what is good, to do what is just, is not to excuse and to push away and say, well, it's okay, don't worry about it, and to forget about it. In life, our actions, our words do have consequences. But we need to think about those consequences from love. Love and truth. Judgment and justice need to come together when we're trying to heal a relationship. We can't do it when we're angry, but we can do it when we're loving. We can find a way. We read again from True Christianity number 50. Love, with everything that belongs to it, flows into wisdom and takes up residence there like a monarch of a realm or the head of a household. The actual administration of justice is something love leaves to wisdom's judgment. Love has to be within the judgments we make. Love has to be within that judgment. When we're dealing with the consequences, we need to look at it from love. There is a need for that judgment and that justice. And so forgiving others, it's not about letting them off the hook. It's not about saying it is okay. But forgiveness is about looking to the love in another person, the good in another person, and then dealing with the externals of their life. What is the best way to move forward with this relationship? Are there things that I need to say to this person? Or, in severe cases, do I need to step back from this relationship until that person can deal with what they need to deal with? Okay? In abusive relationships, perhaps the healing cannot take place while the two of you are together. But some separation is needed, some time for that healing and forgiveness to take place. So we need to bring love into the equation, and from that love into our wisdom to judge what is the best way, what is the best and loving way to deal with this person. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, our Savior Jesus Christ, will you help us to be bold and to be strong and to face those hurtful things that are in us and to help us to let them go so that we might look deeper into a person to find your love, your life inside them, that we might understand them and be able to find the best way to move forward, the best way to help the relationship that we are in to flourish. Lord, we thank you for your word that guides us. We thank you for your love that constantly provides life and purpose for us. Lord, we thank you for the beautiful mind that you have given us that allows us to take that love, that life, and find wise ways in bringing your love into action in this world. Lord, we thank you for all of these precious gifts. Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.